a baby.
Yeah.
Tiring, but good. So, thanks for asking.
You are live.
All right. Oops. Good afternoon. This is a meeting of the Colorado Title Setting Board. The date is October 7th, 2015. It's 1:30 p.m. and we're meeting in the Aspen Room at the Secretary of State's office, 1700 Broadway. We have one item on the agenda today, which is a motion for rehearing on initiative 2015-2016, number 36. And are both the proponents present? And if so, could you please come up to the podium and identify yourselves?
I'm Mike Spaulding.
David Antke.
Okay. And are the petitioners present? You want to just come on up to the microphone, Mr. Gruskin, and I guess we can just start on your side since it's your motion.
Thank you. My name is Mark Gruskin. I counsel to Philip Hayes, the objector here. The motion for rehearing was filed, and I know that the board has it. I'd like to review certain of the issues that are raised, perhaps in a little bit more substantial discussion than as raised in the motion, although I think all the arguments are pretty apparent. First of all, we believe that the board lacks jurisdiction, and there are two different single subject issues. Number one, accountability of public officers is not a subject. It's a phrase, it's a label, it's a theme maybe, but it is not a subject. And I say that because of the precedent already set on the predecessor measure of this particular topic. If I may, Madam Chair, I'd like to provide an exhibit to the board, and may the record reflect I'm providing them to both Mr. Spaulding and Mr. Oddkey.
Yeah, sure. Come on up.
This is a copy, which I would ask Ms. Ward to label as Exhibit A. This is a copy of the Initiative 2013-2014 number 76, the one that went to the Supreme Court last year. And as you will see in Section 1, that measure, and I quote, stated, quote, "This article intends to increase public accountability of public servants." So essentially that measure, number 76, was about public accountability of governmental officers or public officers. However, that's not what the Supreme Court said. Supreme Court was very clear in the decision on number 76 that the single subject of the main proposal was the triggering and conducting of recall elections. So the proponents had the objective last year of making accountability the essence of their measure. They said, and the board agreed, that this was really about recall of governmental officials, and the court found that that was not the case, that there isn't, that was likewise such a broad label that it encompassed both procedural and substantive changes, and the court obviously got to one other substantive change besides the procedures for triggering and conducting a recall election, that substantive change being the subjecting appointed officials to the right of recall. But clearly, that measure was about public accountability, and as the proponents insist, this one is supposedly about public accountability or accountability of public officers as well. I would also suggest to you that public officers is a phrase that is simply too broad-ranging. As it is understood, as it's been interpreted by the Colorado Supreme Court, for instance, in a decision entitled People versus District Court in and for District Court for the County of Moffitt at 193 Colorado 528. There the court said, under a statute that they were interpreting, it is clear that the district attorney, his deputies, and his assistants are within the meaning of, quote, public officers, end quote, in the context of this statute. Likewise, Colorado law, as it currently exists at 2418-102, paren 8, defines public officer as any elected official, the head of a principal department, the executive branch, and any other state officer. Point is, public officer is simply too wide-ranging to have any sort of meaning. But accountability simply is not a subject. And therefore, we would suggest, before you even get to the specific single subject challenges, that you acknowledge the precedent that binds this board on a matter such as this one, that this is cannot be the subject given the decision of the court last year. Madam Chair, I'm happy to talk about the other single subject issues if you'd like me to do so. Or
yeah, I think if you can do.
That's fine. There are multiple topics under this broad theme as well. As the court said last year, the first one is triggering and conducting certain types of elections, recall elections specifically. Secondly, totally unrelated to the issue of triggering and conducting recall elections is the fact that there is now a process for holding retention elections of every judge every 4 years. And in light of precedent, the issue of selecting and removing judicial officers is its own single subject. It cannot be paired with recall under this broad umbrella. But if you were to disagree with us, you would have to acknowledge that the court's decisions have said that the removal of judges is its own subject. Third, what this measure, if it in fact is about accountability, adds on, if this is not about just procedures for recall, is the fact that it amends Article 20, Section 6, which allocates solely to the home rule municipalities control of all all election matters. It is interesting, number four in our motion is important because what this does surreptitiously is to change the qualifications for all judicial officers. Namely, you cannot have been non-retained under the measure for the last 10 years in order to be appointed to any judicial office in the state of Colorado. What's more, if you have been an elected official and you are recalled, you cannot hold any office. You cannot have been recalled, excuse me, for the last 5 years. So a judge now, in order to be appointed, both has to have not been non-retained and has to have not been recalled from office. And those changes, in addition to how elections are held, are substantive. And I think it's particularly important for the board to know that when the court last year took a look at the measure before it and analyzed what were procedures, what did it find? The same types of measures that are in this proposal. Number one, it identified who and how proponents would initiate the process. Number two, it established limits on governmental supervision of the process of circulating petitions. Number three, it set up petition timelines. Number four, it reestablished and redefined the number of signatures that are needed, both for recall petitions and for successor petitions. Number five, it limited and severely constrained the amount of petition review that could occur. Number six, it set up a new election timetable. Number seven, it redefined the ballot content and wording. And number eight, it provided for enforcement. Those are all procedures. When you change what someone can or cannot be in order to have some other office, it is necessarily a subject outside of what the court said was at the heart of triggering and conducting a recall election. Number five in our motion, this measure also changes qualifications for holding all state and local offices because of that same five-year restriction. You cannot have been recalled within the last 5 years to hold any elective office. If you're recalled as a city council person, you cannot run for the state legislature until at least 5 years have passed. If you're recalled as a member of the legislature, you cannot run for office as a special district board member. And the examples go on and on and on and on. That is a different type of measure, and therefore it cannot be part of the subject that is before you, of the initiative that is before you today. Number six, the measure limits certain post-recall terms. That is, it extends vacancies for certain offices. And the court identified that when the measure was just about triggering and conducting elections, the court identified that as something that fell within that ambit. But obviously, the proponents have washed their hands of the analysis in number 76, and therefore, they cannot say that vacancies, preserving certain vacancies for a period of up to a year, has anything to do with accountability. Because if there won't be public officers, how in the world can there be accountability of public officers? Number seven and number eight are closely tied, but they are important to be considered nonetheless. Number seven points out that there is, by its existing terms, a single subject requirement for current recall petitions. Article 21 speaks throughout in the singular about the incumbent to be recalled, a successor to the incumbent, the officer named, et cetera, et cetera. Now, under this measure, you can have five people in one petition, which means if you get 100% of the required signatures, each individual only really has to be the cause of 20%. That is a serious change, and the single subject case law that we cite in the motion should be enough to, I hope, convince you that this violates what is, in essence, an acknowledged single subject requirement under the recall amendment. And lastly, because this measure provides for recall of up to five different officials from the same electoral area as the measure provides, you can have five city council people. You can have a mayor, a city council person, an auditor, and a city clerk, all recalled by the same petition. You could have a district judge and a district attorney, both of whom stand for election within a judicial district. And the examples go on and on and on and on and on. There are many more examples. I'm not going to.
Well, you can't have a district judge anymore. I mean, they took that out, right?
Correct. But you could have. I'm trying to think. Let me strike that. But the municipal issue still stands. The county issue, county commissioner, right. The county clerk, and the like. So
maybe all five statewide.
Is that hoping or is
it just be an odd one to yeah. see?
Well, but it's important because you could have someone who was upset, say, I don't know, with Secretary of State, for instance, and they could include on there the elected at-large member of the State Board of Regents, two officials that have absolutely nothing to do with one another, but they represent the same electoral area. You simply can't. This is all about overhauling that kind of recall process in such a way that voters would not know under the guise of procedures that that's what they were doing and that they were subjecting their government to a level of unpredictability that they had not been warned of. So for those reasons, we believe both because this is not really a subject, this accountability of public officers label is not a subject, and because there are so many additional subjects tied to the original subject that was acknowledged by the Supreme Court, that being triggering and conducting a recall election, that you should reject jurisdiction over this measure and indicate to the proponents that they need to redraft it consistent with Article 5, Section 1, Paragraph 5.5. Thank you.
Thanks.
Do you have any questions?
I don't. Do you want to move to the proponents, or do you have questions?
Well, I do, because, I mean, some of the things that you've mentioned, for instance, the issue regarding not being able to hold office after a recall, I mean, that was in the last measure. Mm-hmm. And the court, I mean, it seemed to me in reading that case, and I've read it a number of times because we were here a few weeks ago with these same proponents, they seem to really focus on the fact that there was this additional category in there. And at the time, it was, you know, essentially what you've indicated, which is, you know, public officials, and that that was too broad because it brought in, you know, people like me, and they didn't, you know, that was a new category to them. So then the proponents came back with judges a few weeks ago or a couple months ago, and the board again said, you know, that's another new category, and so we decided that, you know, we didn't have jurisdiction. But a lot of the things that are in here that admittedly are different are things that were also in the first one, and the court appeared to say, you know, all these different things that are happening, are, that's not the problem. The problem is that you've put in a new category. And I'll agree that, I mean, I personally think the if there is a troublesome point, it's this, it's the shortening of the retention schedule for the judges, because they've already said new categories are a problem. But I mean, how do you respond to that? That it looks like the court was saying, you know, barring them from office for a while, you know, maybe something like putting five on a petition, things like that weren't problematic to the court.
There were a number of issues that the court would not address and said that it would not address in a footnote. And for the record, let me just, the court acknowledged that there were certain issues that seemed to be procedural in nature. And it was footnote 2 in the decision where the court isolated changes to the right to recall of appointed elected officials, recall of judges, prohibition on the timely replacement of certain elected recalled officials, elimination of the single subject requirement of recall petitions, and allowance of five different types of officials to be recalled by the same petition. Now, you're absolutely right, Madam Chair, that what the court said here in listing the procedures included the vacancy provision.
Mm-hmm.
But number one, it's not clear to me that that was much more than dictum. Secondly, it doesn't fit within the notion of triggering and conducting recall elections, because what it's really doing is as you pointed out, preserving vacancies rather than the process for bringing about a recall election. And in any event, the subject is now changed, because what the court said the subject was this triggering and conducting construct. The proponents now say that's not our subject. Our subject is accountability of public officials. And if they're right, then I would argue to you the idea of preserving vacancies is totally outside of that construct that the single subject is accountability of public officers, where what this does is take public officers and keep them out of office. It keeps certain offices unfulfilled. And therefore, had they just stricken their other language and acknowledge that the subject was, as the court said, that would be one thing. But that's not what they did. And they changed their approach at their peril. Because having changed their approach, they don't get to claim the protection of the court's dictum in number 76.
Okay. Now, I want to ask just about the title. Their single subject. I don't think we used it in our title, public accountability. We said concerning accountability. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, is that just I guess it sort of seems like a matter of semantics to me. I mean, if they had said something like holding public officials accountable, are you saying that recall doesn't have anything to do with public accountability, or you're just saying that the way this is phrased, it's not making a statement that could be a subject?
The latter. It's not making a statement that could possibly be. It's a label. It's a little bit like judicial qualifications or water or public revenue. And honestly, the court, I think the court has acknowledged as much. There's another decision that you ought to be aware of, and I'm sure you are because you have to go through this all the time. But one of the water decisions was 2009-2010, number 91, at 235 Pacific 1071. In number 91, there was a tax that was imposed, and there was a restriction on legislative authority to do anything as to the entities that would have the revenue for a period of 4 years. And part of the measure there, oddly enough, actually paralleled what the proponents do here, because that in that measure, the proponents said the purpose of the moratorium on legislative authority is to provide for the stability of the fund, the express uses of monies in the fund, the accountability for the use of any monies received from the fund, and to provide adequate time for the basins to undertake certain activity. So that was an accountability measure, too. And the court said, uh-uh. What you've got is a restriction on legislative authority. You've got a new tax. Those are the two purposes. You can call it whatever you want in terms of this moratorium, but that's what it does. And so I think you have to look at what it does and not what the proponents have used as a very, very, very broad descriptor. And what I would argue to you, the court has never recognized as an actual subject or anything akin to it.
But isn't that something that could be fixed in the title? I mean, isn't that an argument that would be made when we're setting title, that that's a, it's not really what the measure does? The title should reflect maybe recall from office or...
If it were just about recall, I suppose you could... That's the problem. They've jammed so much into this thing that they need a super broad label in order to try and get it in the same measure. And I don't think it's simple. It's a matter of wordsmithing the title, because throughout at review and comment and before you, they've maintained that the single subject is accountability of public officers. Either they were wrong twice, or that's not really anything akin to a subject.
But I mean, that happens where somebody brings a title that, you know, sounds great, and we set a title that does what we believe the measure does. The fact that they brought a title that, you know, it's designed to promote their issue doesn't necessarily mean that that ends up in the language of the title.
Absolutely. That's absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, Madam Chair. But the question is, what is the overarching label that you can use that actually would qualify as a subject? And I have no idea. I don't believe it exists, because there are simply too many disparate parts of this measure to have something that is anything but that kind of broad descriptor.
But all of it has to do with removing public officials from office by vote. All of it, right? We could call it recall, or we could call it retention, but the fact is all of this has to do with petitioning and then holding an election, which will result in the removal from office of people who currently hold office.
The measure deals with the removal of certain individuals. For certain, you don't need petitioning, a la retention. It also has to do with the preservation of vacancies. So it's not just about removing people from office. It's about preserving those. It's about making sure that there are empty offices rather than just removing offices. And I would suggest to you that notwithstanding the removal of certain elected judicial officials, as soon as you get to the notion that you've got election of officials occurring over here and retention, which is an unrelated concept, it happens on a ballot, but that doesn't mean that that there is the same notion of responsibility on the part of judges and legislators for the same kind of activity. Quite the opposite.
Okay. Well, that was helpful to me. I'd be happy to hear from the proponents.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Good
Would you like me to go through some of the things that Mr. Gruskin was talking about, or did you have specific questions? Or
No. Can you just start by identifying which proponent you are for the record?
Okay. So. Mike Spaulding, one of the proponents.
If you want to just respond to his petition, and then if there are things we brought up that you want to respond to, go ahead, and then if we have questions, we'll ask.
Okay. Let me start with something easy. This thing about five people on the recall, it's not five people on the recall. That's not a recall. It's a petition for the vote, and Mr. Gruskin said a couple times, oh, we're going to withdraw five people or recall five people, but no, this is just a petition to put them on the ballot. They're recalled individually. People vote on each one individually. And the 100% divided by 5 equals 20% math thing, when somebody signs on that, they're signing for all five of those. So it's just exactly as if the petition guy held out five and they signed all five.
Right, but it's different. I mean, right now you need a separate petition for
right.
each.
Right. And this is to reduce paperwork and make things easier. And we've had a couple cases in Jefferson County where we had several people colluding and actually some were later arrested for corruption. And it was more than one officer. They were working together. And so in that case, that helps. Also, occasionally you get a city council that's somewhat uniform in their approach. So that's what it's for. It's just a paperwork reduction thing. People still vote on them individually. And actually, it might reduce the number of signatures because somebody might like one of those five, and so they're not going to sign the petition that has five people on it. So it's actually a higher bar to get people to sign one for all five.
I don't think most people would look at it that way.
We're assuming responsible voters. But, but yeah, accountability, we want various public officials to be accountable to the voters. And Mr. Gruskin was concerned that accountability is a big word and it can include many things, and that's true. But we, of course, narrow it down in the initiative right away as far as exactly which public officers and what kind of accountability we're looking at. I mean, you know, they're accountable for jail terms if they break the law and all that kind of stuff. But we're just covering these a couple tools to help help enforce accountability of public these specific public officials. Let's see, what else did he have?
So I think there are two big objections here. One is that this involves not only recall elections but retention elections, and judicial officers are just categorically distinct from election officers. And then the second issue here is that what Mr. Gruskin described as ensuring absences or vacancies in office. Those seem to me to be the most substantive objections. Could you address those? I had a concern about this encompassing judicial officers, which I noted in the record last time.
Right.
But based on my reading of last year's Supreme Court decision, that didn't seem to be the motivating reason why the court struck this the last time around. But one of the questions I had is this state judicial officers or is this all judicial officers, including municipal judicial officers?
Yeah, I believe it's all judicial officers, including municipal. I mean, that's our intent. So so let's see. The vacancies one is, again, I'm going to say easy, but maybe not. I mean, it's a really rare circumstance. For this to occur, nobody has to want to run for office. And I don't see that very often. And, well, I don't know. You guys handle elections. Maybe you do. But I mean, so first, nobody has to want to run for office. And then, you know, the election has to be far enough away where the vacancy is significant. And there are circumstances where that could happen, but I just don't see it. And in fact, if you read through the requirements for running as a successor, what we've done is we've taken that 100-year-old constitutional amendment and we made it a lot easier for successor run. It was almost 100 years before anybody even used that amendment, especially on a statewide office. So
yeah, the problem is, I mean, they don't look at – we don't. Courts don't look at what's the probability of this
right.
outcome. I mean, we have to look at it from is it a substantive change that creates a second subject.
Right.
Whether or not it ever happens isn't relevant.
Okay.
So I mean,
it's just something we threw in on the rare occasion.
Let's start with this.
Yeah.
Your intent is not to create a vacancy. Your intent is to provide for a subsequent election if there is a vacancy.
Right.
Okay. So that seems to me to be related to the idea of you're ousting folks from office, so you have to figure out what to do with them after that.
Right.
I am concerned about this judicial officer issue. There is some case law, I think it's cited in the motion for reconsideration, that talks about how municipal judges oftentimes are appointed officers. They are not elected officers. They are not currently subject to retention. As I read your, and I understood it to be to work this way, but as I read your proposed initiative, all state, and this is Section 1 accountability, all state and local legislative and executive elective officers, comma, and all judicial officers, comma, shall also be accountable to voters in only one of the two alternate ways. And then you go to judicial officers. All judicial officers shall face a retention vote. It concerns me if you're reading this to say that judicial officers not currently subject to retention are now going to be subject to retention. Is that how this works, or do I just misunderstand it?
No, I think you have it correct. It's the intent is to have accountability for all public officers, including the judicial ones.
So how do you get around the case law that says that a lot of local judges are appointed by local officials and therefore are in a separate category from elected officials in their jurisdictions?
Well, I believe it's a constitutional amendment. It is changing some of the case law and specifying that, yes, they are accountable through retention elections, regardless of how they got into office.
I mean, that really, and I said it before, I think if there is a problem, is the most problematic. And there's not just, I mean, the majority of municipal judges in this state are appointed. Now, some are elected. So it seems like under your methodology, they're going to stand for an election, probably at the same time as the city council, and then they're going to stand for a retention on top of an election. And then they're going to have to run for election again.
So why would they stand for election, the first one? I understand
the retention. In some municipalities, the judges are elected.
Oh, okay.
So they're probably elected on a cycle with the city council.
Right.
So Inglewood, for instance, I believe they still elect their – do they still elect their judge?
I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So Inglewood, they elect a judge. Now right. That judge has to stand for election under the municipal code every 4 years. But under your formula, they also then have to stand for retention during the presidential election. So they have to be retained and elected and retained and elected.
Yeah, for a few of them, that could be. I imagine that, and the elections could be in the off years with the city council. So
well, city elections are always in off years, so you're gonna have that result. So it's not just the ones that you're wrapping in that you are assuming that are appointed that are now going to have some kind of an election, but you're right. Creating a double election. I don't know that. I don't know if that was your intent or if you knew that, but is a practicality that I guess needs to be dealt with. So how do you respond to whether that is kind of the second category that you created of, you know, keeping in mind their ruling in the prior case?
So what about judges at the higher level, like statewide or judges or whatever.
Yeah, they're just standing for retention every 6 years.
Right.
So you shorten the retention there.
Mistakenly, right. That's how I interpreted your proposal to read.
I remember that.
Is that it just adjusted statewide? So our district judges, our Court of Appeals judges, and our Supreme Court justices just adjusted them to all be on the same schedule of retention because you did not modify the term judicial officers with the modifiers state and local.
Right, and it does in Section 4 in the enforcement. It says judicial officer means any state or local active or senior judge or justice or judge. So that would include municipal.
Yeah, it would. You're right. Okay.
All right, do you have anything else?
Let me see if there are any other points that were substantial. We've talked that this is, Mark talked about how much stuff is in there, but it's the list of procedures that are necessary to do a recall or other accountability issue. So, no, I think that's everything that I have.
Okay. You have any other questions?
I don't think so. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Mr. Gruskin, do you have anything else you want to add?
not going to retread the ground that the board has already, I think, very effectively addressed in terms of the judicial issue. Just remind you that the standard, though, particularly out of the judicial qualifications cases, is one where these topics have to be part of the same subject, and they have to be directly related to one another, not incidentally or indirectly. And frankly, where there is a reallocation, much to the point of the board of government authority, you've got a violation of the single subject requirement. And we think that at best there are tenuous linkages, but they certainly don't amount to a single subject here. Thank you.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I do have a concern about, so I think the single subject public accountability is fine, and I think it's appropriate to say that public accountability in this context works in the way that you hold an election and whoever holds office will not after that election hold office. I think that that is an appropriate single subject. My concern continues to be whether particularly local judicial officials fall into this separate category of officials that the Supreme Court told us would lead to a non-single subject. I don't know what your views are on that, Chair, but that's my issue.
Yeah.
We did set it last time, and we decided that the officials within this group seem to be, you know, acceptable to the Supreme Court. But this nuance about locally appointed judges, particularly as the Supreme Court pointed out in the City and County of Denver, the mayor appoints county court judges, and they are not currently subject to recall. That's the thing that gives me most concern about the setting of title in this matter.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, obviously I thought having them all wrapped into that title, you know, having all the public officials wrapped in last time was not a problem, but we are bound to follow the precedent that they've given us, which is pretty clearly that it's only going to be one category. And I really hadn't thought much about that municipal judge issue last time around, which is odd because I used to be one. I guess I've just never minded if I had to stand for retention. I don't know. So I think, quite honestly, that if this went up to the Supreme Court, it would get reversed again on that same principle. And so even though I struggle with it because I didn't really agree last time, I feel like if we set title and include that category of municipal judges that we're going to get reversed again, which essentially means that I don't believe the court is going to believe we have jurisdiction.
I agree.
Okay. Then based on that, I will make a motion to grant the rehearing to the extent that, well, to grant the rehearing and find that the board does not have jurisdiction to set title.
I second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. That's the end of this hearing. And that concludes our agenda. And the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.